Good afternoon, Juno, and welcome back to a Juno Afternoon. I'm Christina Michelle, your host today, and today's show is a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association of Juno and KTOO. If you are just joining us, I'm here with Liz, Janessa, Sean, Joyce, and Kelly. And we are just people in our community discussing COVID, how we've been impacted this year. And we're going to get into how we plan to celebrate the holidays working around COVID. But before we do, I just wanted to go back to a question that I asked before we went to break, which was just in general, how has COVID affected your life? And I believe Janessa had something that she wanted to share.
Hi, everyone. This is Janessa. So I guess there's been so much change that has happened because of it. So I mentioned earlier when I was introduced that you may know me as a Sensi consultant in Juno. And so I've been doing that for about 8 years or so. And aside from that, I also have a day job that I work for First State of Alaska. And so while I am doing that job, when COVID started, we ended up going to teleworking from home. Our department did. And aside from that, we were also supposed to, like, we had purchased tickets to go to my brother-in-law's 1 year, like, memorial service that was supposed to be in American Samoa. And that was supposed to take place in April. And they actually are kind of in control of their borders. And so we had purchased our tickets like the end of February. We were supposed to leave at the end of March and be there in April and then come home. And we ended up, they closed the borders, so we weren't able to fly over there. The borders are still closed, so they've been closed pretty much the whole time, and we were unable to go, so we're still not able to go, so now we have to shift it again. On top of that, my father-in-law ended up passing away in October, and so it kind of put a strain on the funeral service and all that kind of stuff that has to happen with him. And he also will be flown back to American Samoa when the borders open up and when we can get him there and have a service. So we really kind of don't know when we're going, and we'll have two services, or, you know, a actual service and then a kind of like memorial service that has to take place and happen whenever they decide to open their borders and we're allowed to travel again. So that's a lot. And then our kids are still doing the tele-zooming for school and all that. So they're home doing that. And it's kind of a struggle with my teenager. My older senior is doing good on his own, but my eighth grade middle schooler is a little bit of a challenge.
Oh my gosh, Janessa, that is a lot. With the passing of your father-in-law, like, did you guys do anything with your family, like, remotely to commemorate or to do a celebration of life? Or are you guys waiting until you can do it in person?
So we were able to, he was in Hawaii, and the kids, you know, all his kids and some of his brothers and siblings and family were able to fly over to Hawaii within like a day of him passing, because he was in the hospital and in critical condition. And so they got the word on that. So they were able to fly there. And Hawaii is on serious lockdown over there. So like, if you go and you're at the hotel, like the hotel won't let you leave. You can, you literally can't go anywhere or do anything unless you are 14 days into quarantine. But they did allow them to leave in order to go straight to the hospital and back. And the hospital was nice enough to allow the seven children to go in to say their goodbyes while he was still alive, okay, before they, you know, but the brothers and stuff had to wait, okay, before they could. So it was kind of devastating because everybody flew there and they all had like 1 day before it happened. And then they were there for a few days to just kind of tie up some loose ends before they flew home. And then he ended up flying home. I mean, they brought him here on the plane probably a week or two later, and we did a service here at the church that was basically the family, the Juno family. And that's what we've done so far, but we still have to fly him all the way back and then do the actual service over there where he's from.
Okay.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot. Sorry for your loss.
Yeah.
We also, we had to do a couple of funerals over Zoom. So I can't stand Zoom, really.
You're over Zoom.
Meetings are the worst. So doing funerals over Zoom, that's another thing that changed with this whole COVID thing. You know, it takes too many airline flights out of Juno to even make it to New York City. So you just put yourself at more of a risk because you got so many different type of transportations you have to take. So yeah, we have to do it over Zoom. So yeah.
Joyce, did you have anything that you wanted to share?
Yeah. Hi, this is Joyce. So I guess the two biggest things that kind of affected me this year, I call her grandma. Our family, my cousins, we call her grandma, but I guess she's technically our great aunt. When she passed away in March, I was at the beginning of the whole lockdown, I guess, and it was just sad because she was the last surviving sibling of her. I think there's 10 siblings. Her husband had passed away, I think, like 20 some years ago. She never had any children or anything. She lived by herself in Tennessee. She owned a restaurant out there for, I think, like 50 years or something. It's Blue Moon Cafe, so I don't know if anybody's ever been out to Tennessee. It's just a small one-road town.
Pardon my ignorance. Is Tennessee in Alaska?
Yeah. I think you can only get there by ferry or float plane.
Okay.
I've only been there once when I was young, and I barely remember.
Okay.
They have their own hot springs. It's a really cool town.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. They have hot springs.
Yeah. My the neighbors in my old neighborhood, they like practically own the town.
Nice.
So then you probably heard of Blue Moon Cafe then, Sean?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been to Blue Moon Cafe.
Okay, yeah. So she and her husband were the ones that owned that place. And from what I learned, they got it from like some gambling bet or something. I don't know.
That was one of the stories. I
don't know. It was like after the war, after World War II, that's where they went, and there was some bet or something, and they won a restaurant, and they've had it for like 50 years or something.
Oh my God.
So that's real?
Yeah.
They're like, sure.
That's so awesome.
I totally believe it. That's funny. Oh my God.
I didn't even know. There was like a lot of stories that my family told, and I didn't even learn about anything until after she passed away. So that was kind of the sad thing, because she lived out there by herself for so long before she moved to Juneau when she was just starting to get older and her health was kind of declining. So she just needed to be closer to better health care for her. But when she passed away in March, it was just sad because just trying to coordinate everything while this whole lockdown thing was happening and then just trying to understand what was happening. Because we had family scattered all over the state and then down south, and we were just trying to figure out when to do the funeral and, just coordinate everything. And we had a celebration of life at the Filipino Community Hall, and I was actually a little bit disappointed because there was a lot of people in the community that knew her in Tennessee and in Juneau, but I think it was just because everybody was so afraid, like because COVID was so new and everybody was just so afraid to go anywhere, do anything. So it's like we couldn't, I felt like the celebration of life wasn't really, what's the word? Like, I felt like we couldn't really honor her, and, you know, she was kind of like the last surviving of our elders.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to basically wait until, I think it was June, before we could actually have the funeral where we could bury her, because we had to wait till the ground was thought out and everything. And even then, when we had the funeral, normally we would just have like this big gathering afterwards, but we couldn't even gather because of all the social distancing and the mask wearing thing. And yeah, that was kind of difficult too, because it was just so short. It was just like a short, like less than 30 minutes, you know, talking and just memories of her and everything. And then it was just, I remember it was raining hard that day, and you know, I just kind of kept my memories of her to myself and stuff, but it was just unreal. It was just weird. I just felt like I was living in the Twilight Zone or something, because normally we would have big gatherings with my family and everything, and it was just very different. And then, like, when that was happening at the same time, I was trying to figure out how to get my parents back here from the Philippines, too, because normally they're gone every winter for, like, the last 13 years. And it was challenging trying to get a hold of my mom because of the time difference and the signal and everything. But I was trying to get her to change her tickets and come home sooner because of the lockdown over there. So, you know, they actually made it out a day early. So they were just basically hours away from getting stuck there for who knows how long. So, you know, now my parents are here, and this is their first winter holidays in 13 years with the family, so it's actually a blessing in disguise that they actually can't go home, can't go back this winter, because we actually get to have the holidays, my mom's birthday, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, my birthday and everything, and it's like the first time that we're all here, so that's nice.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a gift that COVID has given a lot of people, is the appreciation, is the family time. Like, even
though
there's a lot of negative that's come from COVID, and we could literally list those all on our fingers and whatnot, but I think one of the gifts that it has given us is the family time, because I know it's brought me and my family closer together. And I've talked to other people recently that feel this exact same way.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sean. You know, with my family, we already were pretty intentional about getting together often, you know, maybe not every single week for dinner and things like that, but at least every other week. And during COVID, we haven't done as many in-person gatherings as we would like to, but we've still been staying connected, like on Zoom. And so we'll, you know, maybe like play games like Scattergories on Zoom or something like that. Like for Thanksgiving, we, you know, we all saw each other briefly, but then we Zoomed later and did like games and dessert. And during the height of it back in like March, April, we were having like almost daily group calls, like just to be there and support each other and, you know, all of that. And so I definitely would say that that's been a plus, is being able to connect with family more. And I think also for myself, for sure, you know, this year has really brought a lot of things into focus. It's helped me to see what I value most, like what's really important, because we can be so distracted by all this stuff and think it's all important. But when it comes down to like, feel like the world could end tomorrow, you know, it really makes you reevaluate your life and your circle and your priorities.
It definitely puts things into perspective, I would say, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, gives you a lot to think about. And
yeah, definitely. So in regards to the holidays that we have left, we've got two big ones. We have Christmas and New Year's. How do you guys plan to celebrate? With family? Well, are you doing virtual stuff?
Are
you
going to be a big part of our Christmas celebration?
Okay. I was going to say, are all the rules out the window? Are we over it? And we're just going to congregate and, you know, just see what happens?
I feel like we did less together for Thanksgiving. It was me, my mom and dad here, and then my brother and sister in Montana. So we were kind of like siloed.
Okay.
And then for Christmas, it's going to be the opposite. We might not all be together, but we're going to do the Zoom thing. We're going to do the digital. We started a new tradition that we started actually just last year.
Okay.
Which is the party ball.
Ooh, and what's that?
It's like this huge, long cellophane ball that's wrapped with all sorts of gifts. And you like, you grab one end and you pass it around in a circle and unravel it. And it spits out all these gifts over the course of unraveling it. We did it last year. It was amazingly fun. And I did it with the team that I used to run back at Sea Alaska. And that's when I first discovered it. It was like, this is a fun game. And then we did it as a family, and it was even more fun.
Nice. And
we're mailing a ball to my sister for her to do it digitally. So when it's her turn to unravel, she has her own ball to unravel.
I love that. It's filled with
gifts and prizes.
That is so cool. So is it like stocking stuffer gifts, like that you just wrap up in this ball of Savannah?
If you knew my mom, it's anything from stocking stuffer gifts to things that you're surprised she could fit in a ball.
Okay.
Literally, like things that you're like, oh, wow, I just got an iPad.
That's awesome.
It's small to relatively large things, or I don't know, large, but expensive, like whatever. And but it's all stuff that she wraps in this giant cellophane ball, and then you just unroll it. It takes a bit.
Yeah.
And there's a game you play while you unroll it, but yeah.
Okay.
It spits out a lot of cool prizes. Last year was the first year we did it, and it was super fun. She's better at it than I was.
That's fantastic. All right.
She's really good at the holidays.
Okay, I think that helps. If you have somebody who's really festive by nature anyway, yeah, we need those people even more right now.
Right.
So Kelly's kind of that person in our family. Like, I am just, no. But yeah, we need that.
I am the festive one.
For sure.
The organizer.
We have multiple festive ones in our family, but it's like one extreme or the other. You're like super festive and way into the holidays, or you can't wait till they're over.
Yeah, that's kind of like me, but family's over it because everything is purple.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, it's like purple lights everywhere, but hey, what are you going to do?
If you love purple, own it.
So are you guys planning to do your normal Christmas dinner? Well, what is Christmas dinner? Like turkey, stuffing, or like, I know we're doing prime rib. I think we're doing prime rib and like seafood, like shrimp and crab. Yeah, so.
My family is actually Chinese food, and there's a long story behind that that I won't get into, but Chinese food is our Christmas dinner.
Okay, awesome.
Do you make it or do you buy it?
It's a combination of both. Mostly it's made. I was like, we grew up with somebody that used to make it for us, and she was really good at it. And so we kind of had to get good at it ourselves when she was no longer with us and was making it for other families. So after she left was when we all realized how much we liked it. And we're like, we kind of want this for Christmas every year. Can we just continue to do this? And my mom's like, let me figure out how to do that. And she did. And she learned how to make spring rolls and fried rice. And she's, the kitchen is not where she feels the most comfortable. But she can make Chinese food.
Liz, were you anticipating going home for the holidays? Is it a change for you to be here in Juneau? Or was it always your intention to be here in Juneau for Christmas and Thanksgiving and the New Year?
I was planning on taking this year to travel and be with family, especially to see my mom because she's 84 now and she lives in Mississippi. I haven't seen her since I've been to Juneau. I've been here for 2 years, just about. So I haven't seen her. And much as I would like to see her, you know, I wouldn't want to put her in that jeopardy and nor myself. But we're going to try to probably wing the Christmas dinner and make it something non-traditional cooking, because that turkey we had for Thanksgiving, I swear it was somebody's grandfather turkey, because that thing was so tough. I told my husband, I said, where did you get this turkey? I said, what is it, butterball turkey or what? He said, no, it just came in a clear bag. I'm like, a clear bag?
You're like, there's the problem, red flag number one.
Yeah. So we kind of sat there, and my son was like, I've been chewing this turkey for a while.
Did you get any turkeys? Because
So Christina, we might make what you're making, but I'll probably be drinking a nice green juice because I decided to do vegan this year. Awesome. We'll see how that goes.
That's fantastic.
Have you done vegan before?
I've done it for 8 months years ago, and it really helped out a lot. But
yeah,
but we'll see. I don't know. It depends. If Christina brings some of that food to work, it might not.
You know, I'll tell you, I was a vegetarian for 10 years.
Yeah. I was a vegetarian for at least a year or two. Sorry, Sean, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, as soon as I quit being a vegetarian, you go to the exact opposite where you can't have enough meat and everything.
Yeah. Well, my family, they don't let me cook anything. Literally for Thanksgiving, they assigned me cranberry sauce with the condition that it was in a can. Dinner rolls. Like, that's what they gave me because I like to, like, experiment and substitute stuff. Like, instead of rice, I'll use, like, cauliflower rice. Or instead of sugar, I'll use, like, honey or, like, xylitol. Or
and Thanksgiving is not the time when you experiment with food.
Instead of, you know,
what you do.
Instead of meat, I use, like, things that are like meat. Yes. You know, it's meat reminiscent.
We gave her a shot. We gave her deviled eggs 1 year. We gave her sweet tea 1 year. We gave her a potato salad 1 year.
I'm literally over here crying.
We tried. But then she got it all taken away. All of it.
We tell people that all the time. A holiday is not the time to
experience.
Christina, you got to put that cauliflower back on the shelf.
It's not an experiment because, like, I've been doing it.
I experiment a lot.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you. You know, you try to expose people to new things.
No. I have a question for Janessa. With the holidays with your kids, do you feel like you have to compensate for COVID? Do you feel like they're getting extra spoiled this year with Christmas because of COVID? How are they handling the holidays during COVID? Are they taking it okay? Do you feel like they're kind of bummed? How are you parenting during the holidays with COVID?
Well, all of our kids are a little bit older. So we've got a 18-year-old that graduated last year. We've got a senior this year and a 8th grader. And I don't really feel like they're getting anything extra or extra spoiled or anything this year. And I mean, I think when they were younger, I probably had more fun gifts or something to give them. So maybe I'm going more practical this year, you know, like they need clothes. So they're getting clothes, you know, or something. So I'm trying to figure out what kind of unique or fun things I can get them for this year, or how I can make it a little bit different or special. But for the most part, I don't think it's really changing too much. But going back to, I think, one of the earlier questions when we were talking about, you know, the family time and stuff, when you guys had mentioned that about COVID, you know, teleworking from home and them doing their school from home, I can definitely say that that has given us more time together or, brought us together also. And, you know, usually, like, when I was going to the office and having to work there, and then by the time I got home, it was like 8 o'clock at night after I stopped at the store on the way home and did all that kind of stuff. And so I'd be home late, and then I'd be doing the housework right before bed. And so, like, I, you know, and they'd either be up doing their own thing and in their bedrooms and I'd never see them, or they'd be asleep, or, you know. So I definitely feel like we have a lot more family time now because of, you know, which is kind of like a blessing because of COVID. And then Thanksgiving, like, and Christmas and those kind of things, they have changed a little bit for us. Last year, actually, my grandma, so normally, traditionally, our Thanksgiving was my grandma would, sorry, my dog is scratching at the door, the garage door. So normally my grandma would pretty much cook the turkey and, you know, do a lot of the prep cooking for Thanksgiving at her house. And on Thanksgiving Day last year, she slipped in the driveway and fell and broke her hip.
Oh my gosh.
And so that day we had, and it was another thing that happened that day too, but I can't remember what it was, but another significant thing that same day. But we ended up spending the majority of our time on Thanksgiving with her being in the emergency room. And then this year, because it was like a year after that and because of COVID, we ended up just ordering TK Maguire's Thanksgiving food. And so that was something that was different for us.
Oh,
that's how we had our food is it was delivered and we ate our Thanksgiving meal that way at my parents' house. And my uncle would normally join us, but he is more worried about the COVID and getting anybody sick or getting sick himself and that kind of thing. So he didn't get to come around. So he kind of had to have food delivered or, you know, do something separate, which I think is going to impact our Christmas because he usually is there for Christmas also. And I think he'll probably be off separately a little bit doing his own thing. And then as far as the Christmas holiday, like our tradition used to be is like on Christmas Eve, we would go to church service and then come home and then have pizza and then open presents, like with the big part of the family, like grandparents, parents, us. And then we would go to sleep, do the Santa stuff in the morning, and just do our own home kind of like presents or smaller versions of our presents or whatever the next day on Christmas Day. And then that evening have Christmas dinner, which was like the ham because turkey was at Thanksgiving. So I kind of have a feeling that our dinner, I'm not really sure how our Christmas dinner is going to end up this year, if it's going to be a combination of making stuff, or I don't know if there's going to be an option to order something, but if there is, I think
I guarantee you TK's is going to be offering a meal.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of wondering. And so that's probably what we're going to end up doing is ordering.
And by then they might actually have delivery in the valley.
They do.
Well, no, like regular delivery. Now it's on a schedule.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I tell you one thing, due to COVID, I have never eaten so many pizzas in my entire life.
I'll tell you what, due to COVID, I'm so glad for the delivery stuff. The home delivery options, I think it's great.
I learned to go back to my ways of home cooking. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I definitely have to say, I think that, I guess, I know it's disappointing that it's not as easy for everybody to go into the restaurant and eat and that we're kind of locking things down to where the capacity. So I do feel for the workers that are trying to get, you know, out there doing their jobs and trying to make a living in the restaurants and the bars and those kind of things. But it's really cool the different options the restaurants have came up with for delivery and, you know, meals and family plans and all kinds of different stuff that they have created because they haven't been able to open the restaurant to full capacity or having everybody come there. I mean, and then all these other restaurants that normally didn't have delivery or curbside pickup are now offering those.
Absolutely.
So I think that is another kind of benefit or plus or good thing that has
I think in the business world, which is something that I spent a lot of time dealing with and in, I think it's really forced people to really, you know, pivot their business plan. I really think it's created opportunity for the people that have the right kind of mindset. And then for some of the people that were maybe just getting by with their business are struggling. And I think it's because you used to be able to provide a product that was maybe not of the highest quality and still get away with it in this town. And I think that is slowly coming to an end, honestly.
Yeah.
I think people are being more picky about where they spend money, especially with, you know, pandemic and things like that going on.
Absolutely.
I have noticed that the service levels in Juneau have gone up tremendously.
Yeah, right. And that was
like
very, very, very low.
Yeah. Like if you go to a restaurant now, you're not going to sit at a table for 5 minutes before they bring you water. Like,
yeah, exactly. They're going to notice you right away and be like, oh, look, money. Whereas
exactly.
They should have always seen that from the beginning. Don't get me started.
All right, so we're going to just pause again really quick right here. If you are just tuning in, I'm Christina Michelle. Today's show is a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association and KTOO. Here with me, I have Liz, Janessa, Sean, Joyce, and Kelly, and we're having a conversation about COVID during the holidays. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.